Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
So I've got Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about what healthy sexuality looks like when a sex addict is in recovery.
One of the things we know about research and sex addicts is that they don't necessarily want sex with their own wife. And so to me, that says he's in really good recovery because he does want that with you. He has been 2 years sober. He has been in three facilities. And I suspect that's how he's wanting closeness with you.
And, you know, there are so many questions that a partner may have about what to expect. Is it fair to expect it? Am I asking too much? And that's why you really need a partner-sensitive clinician or coach to help you with the tough, tough questions. Now, the truth of the matter is, a normal clinician or coach does not have the experience to see the patterns that we oftentimes see. And not everybody is exactly the same. But what I know to be true is there has to be a certain level, a certain standard, if you will, of behavior. Let me give you an example. I received this email from Trish, and she says, "Hi, Carol, I've been listening to your podcast, and I am so thankful I found it. Many times you talk about spouses, but what about if the partners are boyfriends or girlfriends? I am 32, and my boyfriend Tommy is 34. We've been together for 2 years. I've had a lot of concerns about this relationship, especially with his ex-wife. They have 2 children together. And I've also worried about other women as well. You know, he would never let me meet his ex, and he just said it was none of her business who he was dating. I kind of question that because I'm a nice person and I wanted to get to know her because they had children together, but he absolutely refused. Well, I finally connected and discovered he was seeing both of us. That's right. He was seeing his ex-wife and he was seeing me, and she proved it. Because she went with him on business trips that I absolutely knew that he was gone to. You know, a few days later after I confronted him, he threatened and attempted suicide. And he was committed for over 30 days in a hospital. He made friends with the women on the unit. I mean, they seemed totally inappropriate. Even an 18-year-old who was at least on her third suicide, so I know she was unstable. After he got out, I had a date scheduled with him, and he canceled at the last minute. I went to his house, and an 18-year-old girl he met at the hospital showed up. He asked her to come back later, and then he got mad at me. Okay, Carol, what do I need to be doing? He was so apologetic, and he said he wanted to change for himself and wanted to try again with me on a clean slate. He told me about 80% of what he had done while we were together. I was hurt and triggered a lot, but I told him I expected progress, not perfection. So here's what I said. Tell the ex-wife we're together. Tell your hospital friends we're back together. We need individual and couples counseling. And he did everything but number 5. You know, we didn't get into the counseling. Now, Carol, you've said before that a partner of a sex addict will always find out the truth and will do lots of things to protect him or herself. That's right. That's what I have said. Once you know, once you absolutely know the truth, then you'll be able to spot it. You'll be able to spot when things aren't right. However, Trish, I'm worried about you. I know you're seeing a therapist. Her email's pretty lengthy, so she gives me lots of other additional information. And I know that you've checked with all the women that you believe he's been with. Some have told you the entire truth. Some have not called you back. And some have said that they were very surprised to know you were in the picture. But here's my concern. You aren't married. This man, Tommy, has done nothing but cheat on you. He can't keep it together for days, let alone weeks, months, or years. And you continue to take him back. Now, when you know better, you do better. And I believe your email is articulate. I suspect you're intelligent. But I also wonder what's going on with you that you're willing to give this man that you are not married to so many chances. Now, you have that right, just as married people do, to stay in a relationship for financial reasons, for the kids, any of that stuff. But I'm wondering what you're afraid of if you were single, because this, you're too good for this guy. He's not putting forth any effort. And you're holding yourself emotionally hostage. You said, I'm willing to go through this with him and help him through his recovery, but I'm also wondering if it's worth it. He said, I rushed him into nixing all this from his life, and what was I supposed to do, sit and wait while he continued sleeping with other women? Is it worth it if you're not married but mutually planned on being together? Well, you know me. I don't mince words. And I really allow partners to make their own decisions. So I would say this is your decision. If you were in my office and if you said, Carol, please be straight with me, what's the greatest advice you can give me? Trish, I would say run. Don't walk. Run from this man. And double up on a support group for women that want to really help and put themselves on the back burner in doing so. You know, I oftentimes say the worst thing our culture has done is to call partners of sex addicts codependent. And I don't think anybody should ever be stamped with that just because they're with a sex addict. But I am seeing a lot of codependency here, Trish. I'm seeing you put yourself and your needs in front, and then you allow him to walk a walk that's not his talk, and to take advantage of situations, and to dismiss what you really need and want. And none of us should be with people who dismiss our needs. So, tell you to run. I want you to run out of that relationship. But what I know to be true is it totally is your decision. I'm just glad that you have a counselor, because you need somebody to sit with you as you go through this pain that you're going to invariably feel, and to help you make better decisions. You know, I always say women make decisions based on their head, what they think, their heart, how they feel, and their gut, what they know. And these decisions that you're making are totally heart-based. They're emotional. And there's not a bit of logical thinking in this, or you would have left. And I suspect that intuitively you know what you need to do. I mean, the last sentence was, is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. He's not worth it. You deserve so much more. And so that's my answer to you. And I really appreciate you sending it in, you know, asking me what I thought. And I know the partners that are listening to this show are thinking, yeah, if you're not married, even though you're in love, maybe what you need is what we call love addiction group. When you can't tear yourself apart from somebody who is not good for you, you almost feel like you're going to die without him, then addiction group can be really helpful in supporting you through a breakup and into good self-esteem. And so that's what I would encourage for you. And those, of course, are free, so they're not going to cost you anything. And if you can't find one in your own town, get online. Love addiction groups. Don't do the sex and love addiction group. Just do the love addiction group. I didn't hear anything about really being addicted to sex. I just heard that you're addicted to him. And we have to support each other in making good decisions. That's what I believe. Now, you know, it's so important to have healthy boundaries when you love somebody who has compulsive, problematic sexual behavior. And the other day, I was working with someone who said to me, gosh, am I doing his program by expecting him to work his tools of recovery? And I tell my clients, you know, there's these 10 tools of recovery, and really the addict will let you know that he's working hard if he's working at least 8 of them. Now, she identified that she wanted him to read the Green Book and my book, Helping Her Heal. Thank you very much. Practice daily healthy outer circle behaviors. I'm sure most of you know the sex addicts typically follow the 3 circles, and the inner circle are the deal-breaking behaviors like affairs or porn or prostitutes or massage parlors. Then there's the middle circle, which are slippery slope stuff. When they watch a movie that has a lot of naked scenes on it, or if they look through your Victoria's Secret catalog. Those are slippery slope behaviors. They don't need to put that in their brain. So her boundaries were see a therapist, attend group support regularly, work the 12 steps, work with a sponsor, have a fellowship that he can engage with, practice those daily healthy outer circle behaviors, read the Green Book, which for many of you, you probably already know that's Sex Addiction. Well, that's Sex Addicts Anonymous. That's their Bible, the Green Book, and then Helping Her Heal. And no, I definitely don't think you're asking too much to expect him to work 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of the 10 recovery tools, because those are all my recovery tools. I don't make people read my book, but other than that, those are 10 really good recovery tools that'll keep him in check. Okay, so now, today, we have a guest, and she has made it her mission to help women work through being separated or divorced. And she has a support group through her coaching practice called Fully Alive Coaching. And I'm just real excited to have her on because she's going to be starting this group. She definitely has some strong beliefs about what works and what doesn't. And so I want you to hear what Coach Andrea says about the needed support that women so oftentimes don't get when they decide to separate or divorce from someone who has addiction in their background. So, Coach Andrea, how are you?
I'm good, Carol. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to ask you, you obviously have worked diligently on developing tools and skills and strategies and resources for those women that are separated or divorced. So tell me a little bit about that. What got you to that place where you said, these women need these things?
I think a lot of it was birthed out of my own need and my own story. I had spent 4.5 years trying to save my marriage, and I felt like I had access to books and groups and retreats and workshops that helped me navigate that process. But when I decided to separate and eventually divorce, sex addiction can be isolating in and of itself, but when you add that extra piece of going through separation or divorce, it suddenly changes the dynamic, and I couldn't really find a group or a place to go other than my therapist's office that I felt really safe to share and process what I was going through.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, in this field, a lot of women that become clinicians and coaches specifically for partners have experienced something, you know, very, very similar. So tell us a little bit about your group and what, how women can sign up and why they will be better off after having experienced it.
I'm really excited about this. This will be a pilot group, this first group that I'm kicking off on March 19th. And it's called Suddenly Single. And every letter in the word single represents a different topic that we'll be covering throughout the 8 weeks. So the first week, we'll just meet and share our stories. The next week, we'll talk about support. What type of support do you need as a newly single person? For myself, I felt like I had 5,000 decisions to make, not just for myself, but for my kids. And I would have loved a step-by-step process to say, okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What about this? And really to just be able to share ideas with other women and get their feedback and support. It would have been something that I loved. And so my hope from this group is that women walk away not just with hope, but with excitement, that they're not only going to be okay on the other side of their marriage, but they're going to be better and that their life is going to be exciting and fulfilling.
You know, I love the fact that you're taking them over there to post-traumatic growth. And, you know, let's face it, when a woman has experienced betrayal, whether it just happened or it happened 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, it's so important for them to eventually move to restoration of self. And so, again, Suddenly Single is a support group for divorced and separated partners. And your motto is suddenly single, but not alone. And so I want to let our listening audience know that her acronym, SINGLE, stands for support, I, information and inspiration, N, the next right thing. You help them to develop goals, both short and long-term goals, right?
Right.
G is gratitude. How do you find ways to incorporate gratitude in your life, especially when you feel like or felt like your life fell apart? L for love, learning to love yourself and your life again. And then E for experiencing new life, and that's that post-traumatic growth. So, you know, you said this group came out of your own experience, and you are a betrayal trauma survivor. So
yes.
You had been married for 19 years, and you do something that I think is so important as a coach. We talk about reframing, how important it is to reframe what has happened to us from that of being a survivor to a thriver. So can you tell me some of God's greatest blessings that have come on the heels of your greatest devastations?
I would love to. This is my favorite part of the story to share. One day I was writing in my journal, and I was writing the word divorces, because I feel like a divorce is not just one divorce. It's divorces. You're divorcing your spouse. You're divorcing your in-laws. You're divorcing friends and family. I divorced my church. Everything about your life is going through a mini divorce. So you're having these divorces. And one day I was writing divorces, and it's like the letters started to move on the page. And at first I thought, am I seeing what I'm seeing? But after I took the time to write the letters out, the same letters that are in the word divorces are in the word discover. It's the exact same letters. And I got so excited because I really felt like, yes, I'm going through these divorces, but I am about to go on a new discovery. And so my greatest discoveries have been finding myself again. I feel like I lost so much of myself and who I was and what I was passionate about while I was in my marriage. I discovered that I'm so much stronger than I ever thought I was. And I think the greatest discovery was I came from a divorced family. And when I got married, I made it very clear that I did not want to get a divorce. It was like my number one goal is that my children will grow up in a two-parent home. And so to find myself living my worst nightmare, but to see all these new discoveries popping up, it was like I can go through my worst nightmare and still come out of this hard place beautiful, come out of this hard place with excitement, come out of this hard place feeling like a better person than I was before. And I feel like my greatest gift has just been an enlarged capacity for compassion.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I truly believe is that when you can move from pain and devastation and betrayal and move into that place of hope and strength, recovery, compassion, you really have moved your life over to the blessings that, you know, God has to offer. And so reframing, obviously, is asking yourself, how am I stronger, or what did I have to learn from this? So if you put it in reframing terms, how are you stronger?
Well, I'm stronger because the thought of starting over after spending half of my life as a married person seemed like an impossible task. I, early on in my marriage, discovered that my husband was having an affair, and it literally almost killed me. I went into a very deep depression. I just felt like I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't know how to dig myself out of this hole. But going through this process, which was 100 times worse, I was sad and I was depressed, but I didn't feel defeated. I didn't feel like it was the end of my life. I knew that I could still go on, and that though this chapter of my life was ending, I still had the ability to create new chapters in my story and not just like, oh, now I have to do this because this thing happened to me, but that I could actually do it with excitement and with joy. And so going through this divorce process and, you know, pursuing this career as a coach, raising my four kids as a single parent, and still being able to find gratitude in my life, still loving my life every day that I wake up, still having an excitement and enthusiasm about the lives that I get to touch because of my story, is a joy that I don't know that I expected. To see the hope that comes in someone's eyes when they hear my story and it sounds a lot like theirs, I don't know that I can have words to describe that experience, but it makes everything that I went through worth it. Would I want to do it again? No, but I see so much value and so much treasure in having walked this journey that I just find joy in sharing my story and being able to help other people.
And, you know, I love that. I love that you've turned a tragedy into an opportunity. Now, what do you think that betrayed partners who are separated and or have had to get the divorce, what do you think they feel about themselves and about their situation?
You feel like a failure, like an outcast. There's a lot of hopelessness there, especially if, like in my case, I had spent so much energy trying to save the marriage and then to watch it all fall apart. And I think one of the biggest things that I see with partners is you lose your inability to dream. Because you've just watched a dream die. And the thought of dreaming again sounds very scary. And so when you lose that ability to dream, when you lose that ability to envision your days ahead and you're surrounded by what seems like darkness, it's hard to try to find your way out of that. And so that's the importance of having someone come alongside you and say, hey, I'm here to hold your hand through this. And you are single, but you're not alone. Because that feeling of loneliness that comes, especially if you've had a long marriage and you've been in a coupleship for a long time, the feeling of loneliness can be overwhelming.
Well, it seems to me like somehow you had to yourself have felt very, very, very devastated, and yet somehow you mobilized yourself and said, I'm not going to let this destroy me. I'm actually going to find compassion and choose a different life for myself. So tell me a little bit more about that. In terms of that shift, and that's what coaches do. We help our clients shift their energy. Your group is going to help them shift by exercises, by venting. What's the major tool that you're going to be using?
I compare it to, you know, if you've ever had a ball of yarn and you're trying to untangle that ball of yarn, it could be difficult and you're looking at it and you're tempted to just like throw it away and go buy more yarn. That's how it feels when you're going through a divorce and you've had this trauma of betrayal. So now you've got the trauma of betrayal and the trauma of divorce. And it's like, where do I start? This curriculum is designed so that it's like we're just untangling this one string at a time. You know, they say, how do you eat an elephant? You do it one bite at a time. We're not going to try and solve all of your life problems. We're not going to try and fix everything. But when you realize, oh, I can take one step, and I can take the next step, and I can take the next step, and part of the curriculum is that I, where you get information. So it's like, oh, are there books that I can read? Are there conferences that I can attend? The knowledge part of recovery really is powerful. When you have a language to describe what you've experienced, when you realize, oh, this is not just happening to me, but this is impacting other people, and you get the language that you need, it creates such a powerful tool for healing. So we'll talk about resources. We'll talk about support. Okay, if I've been a stay-at-home mom, which was my case, how in the world am I going to support my family financially? Finding that gratitude can be so hard. But just like, what are ways that we can find gratitude even in the midst of this hard thing? And so I want it to be simple. I want it to be doable, but I also want it to be tangible. So they're not just getting a lot of information, but we're actually going through exercises and processes, and we're talking, and they're writing things down, like their short-term goals and their long-term goals, and they can have those up in front of them so that they know where they're trying to go. So this is like if you map a GPS, and you know how the GPS tells you, okay, this is the first step, this is the second step. We're just going to do like two or three steps on your GPS process to help you get to where you want to go eventually.
Great. So you kind of catapult them into a direction. And what I know to be true is that when women share group experience, I always say, I want to work myself out of a job. I want the group to be there for each other through thick and thin, in the middle of the night, on Saturday and Sunday, when I can't be available. And certainly this group will be an opportunity not just to cultivate support, but maybe make some lifelong friends.
Yes. I say that sex addiction brought me to the worst place to meet some of the best people. The women that I've met through the support groups I was in, the women that I've met through APSETS, the women that I've met just through my coaching practice, I don't know that life would have presented me other opportunities to cross paths with them. And so one of the greatest treasures that you can walk away with from this process is you come in contact with people that maybe you never would have otherwise, but they enrich your life, they bring joy to your life, and I can tell you that the friends that I started my recovery journey with, they are my sisters today. So I would love for the ladies in this group to walk away with a sisterhood.
Oh, absolutely, and that is beautifully said. So, again, we are talking with Andrea Rogers, and she is a betrayal trauma survivor, and we call her Coach Andrea. She's a board-certified life coach, and she is now a candidate in our very own APSATS trauma model program, and she's the mother of four amazing children. She has started the Suddenly Single, a support group for divorced and separated partners, and you can email her at Coach Andrea, and let me spell this for you, Coach, CoachAndreaFac at gmail.com. Call her at 832-422-5480. And so that's how they can get a hold of you, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and then you will be able to email them the paperwork.
Yes. Once they email me, I will email them paperwork to fill out just as an introduction to the group. If people want to kind of get a jump start on getting to know me, I do have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, Fully Alive Coaching. That's what the FAC stands for. In my email address, they can go and get a picture of what I look like, my coaching style, the type of information that I like to share. But the emailing me is the first step to start the process of getting your paperwork filled out, knowing what the schedule is. I will kind of have like some introductory questions to ask so that I know where you're coming from when you join the group. And then when we start that first group on March 19th, we're all going to have a chance to share a little bit of our stories and really get to know each other.
You know, it's so interesting, and I know that you're aware of this because you took the training, but so many people contact me because I am actually on the website as the contact person, and they say, I want to help partners. I don't know how to go about it. I know that I'm supposed to contact you for ideas. Please explain what I can do. And truly, becoming a coach at an ICF accredited program or a BCC accredited program is the easiest way to help partners, because once you go through that coaching school, then you can do the APSATS training and develop that very specialized niche, and we love that. Now, there are other ways that partners can help, and I'm always putting out other things that I've heard really good things about. But, Andrea, did you decide this would be the easiest way to help partners, or were you already working towards your coaching degree when this all came up for you?
No, I was not working towards my coaching certification. I actually was leading groups as a volunteer. And when I first got in recovery, I actually reached out to APSATS, probably like you're saying, most people do. And I said, I would love to come to this training and learn more. I knew that I wanted to be equipped to help partners. And it was like, okay, you have to either be a coach or a counselor. And I was like, well, I have little kids. I knew I didn't have time for that. All of my energy was just going into trying to save the marriage and working on my own recovery. And so I kind of put it on the back burner. But when I got separated, my first thought was, how am I going to feed my family? And I have a psychology degree for undergrad, so I've always been interested in counseling and coaching. But I knew I didn't have 5 years to dedicate to counseling. And also I had looked at coaching, and what I love about coaching is that forward action, that we touch on things that happened in the past, but we're really looking at, if you know that this is where you are today, how do we get you to where you want to be tomorrow? And so the thought of becoming an APSAT certified coach was really exciting to me. And so I instantly, like, I separated from my husband on like a Tuesday. And by that Thursday, I was already looking up coaching schools. I was trying to figure out when the next training was and how I could get there, how soon I could register. It was like all the pieces started to fall into place because I was already taking the steps on that journey through my own recovery. But being able to go and get my coaching certification, go to APSATS training, and it was such a sweet thing that I actually took my certification exam for my coaching program the day before my divorce was final. So I walked into my divorce proceedings the next day as a board-certified coach.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yes.
That is a great, great story. And, you know, again, you did what I believe from a coaching perspective. You took immediate action. And I always say the universe loves speed. So oftentimes with partners and partner betrayal, you and I both know that the brain is offline and they can't even begin to think through things and function because they're in shock, they're in anger, they're in disbelief, and their amygdala has been greatly affected. But once that begins to go back online, when you have a nudge to do something that is going to help somebody, I say do it with ferocity. Do it with velocity. Make it happen quickly. And that's what you are a walking example of.
Yes, yes.
Now, let me ask you, what kind of a relationship do you have with your husband now?
It is basically no contact except in regards to my children. Part of the reason that we separated was I felt very unsafe in the marriage. There was still a lot of emotional abuse going on and a lot of disrespect. And one day I just realized that I couldn't do it anymore. And so part of my own healing has been to go no contact with him because I still consider him an unsafe person. So we only communicate via an app in regards to the kids, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, so that was a boundary you had, and you knew that that's what you needed to do for your own sense of safety. And we know that is the first phase that a partner has to make sure he or she works through to go to the next stage, which is grieving. So I'm glad that you did that for yourself. And one of the things I know from having met you as well as having seen the kind of work you put out, even though your marriage ended in divorce, and even though it sounds like it is very structured, it's not like you two are best friends, you understand that partners have a variety of relationships with their ex-husbands or their separated husbands. And I love how you have never projected your own issues onto another woman.
No, I think that one of the greatest things a woman can get and should get from recovery is the ability to use her own voice. Many partners come to the recovery process and their voice has been silenced for so long. And I actually experienced this in my own recovery. It was like the counselor was trying to tell me what to do. The group was trying to tell me what to do. And I had to say, no, no one is telling me what to do. I am going to make my own choices. I am going to decide what feels safe for me. And when I found a group of ladies who not only supported that, but that we allowed each other to have that space, that was such a great part of my healing journey. And so I think it is so important for every partner to have the opportunity to make their own choices, to use their own voice. Nobody lives inside your body except you. And so you are the one who knows what makes you feel safe. You are the one who knows what you need. You are the one who has to live with yourself every day. And as a coach, I can offer a suggestion, but you have full freedom to take it or not take it. And I'm not tied to it at all. And I actually love it when a woman says, you know, I know that a lot of recovery programs say I should do this, but for me, it doesn't feel right. And so I'm going to make this choice. And I feel like this is a woman who's taking her power back when most of us lose so much of it in the marriage.
Well, absolutely. And that's really what coaching is all about in general. It is helping a person find their own power, their own empowerment, and their own voice. So we have to begin to wrap up, and I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to say to these betrayed partners that are listening to the show, either about your group or about life in general.
I really want to speak to the hearts of those that are separated or going through divorce and tell you that I know you are tired. I know that you feel like you have a mountain to climb and you don't know how you're going to do it. I know that you're making 1,000 decisions every day and it feels overwhelming. And I want to encourage you that if you are a part of this group, if you get connected with other women that are going through the same process, it will not only help you, it will energize you. It will be your safe space to come every week and get self-care for you. While you're making 1,000 decisions for others, you're trying to figure out what's going to happen in your life, this is your time to come and refuel, to re-energize, and to remind yourself that we can only do the next right thing. And that means we're taking one step at a time. So week after week, you get an actual tangible reminder that you're going to be okay, that there is hope on the other side, that though that chapter of your life ended, you still have more chapters of your story to write, and that you can go on to discover the best parts of your life.
Well, I think that's really good advice because we know that most partners have been so devastated, that's I think the third time I've used that word today, but that they have contemplated divorce. They've wondered if it wouldn't be easier, you know, sticking with a sex addict and watching him go through his recovery, sometimes really well and sometimes not so great, is exhausting. And so we know that partners have at least contemplated, should I go? What would happen if I did go? Should I get separated? You know, some of them, many of them have therapeutic separations in the home already. And so this group is for physically separated women and women that have either gotten a divorce or are getting a divorce. But what about the woman that just doesn't know yet? Can she come to this group?
I don't know if this group would be a good fit for that woman because this group is designed for women who are already taking the steps in that direction. And like you just said, Carol, it's just so vital that a woman has every option available to her. And to come into a group where women are talking about, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, for a woman that's undecided, I don't know that this group would help her to look at her situation holistically. We're really focusing on the side of you've already made the decision, you're already separated, and you are more than likely headed towards divorce or already in that process.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so, again, this group starts in March. And give us a start date.
March 19th. It'll be on Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30 Central Standard Time.
And so remind them how they can get a hold of you one last time before we wrap up the show.
Absolutely. I would love for you to reach out to me at Coach Andrea S. as in Frank, A as in Apple, C as in Cat. That's Coach Andrea, F-A-C, at gmail.com. Or you can call me, 832-422-5480. And I'm also on Facebook at Fully Alive Coaching, and you can private message me there as well.
Well, Coach Andrea, thank you so much for sharing this viable resource. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know that you want to do it, but I'm hoping that you put together another group for partners just in general. Your energy is infectious, and I'll tell you what, you have a lot of hope, strength, and recovery to offer these women. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Carol. And I promise you, I am just getting started. So you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot from me.
All right. You take care and talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So again, that was Coach Andrea, and you can reach her through her Facebook page or email her at CoachAndreaFAC@gmail.com. It's always tough when women get divorced and they are feeling like they felt like their whole life was just turned upside down anyway with the betrayal, and then it's turned upside down again. We know how you feel at APSATS. So go to APSATS.org if you're looking for a coach, if you want to see what Coach Andrea looks like, if you want to see if there's somebody in your area, a clinician, a coach. We are a partner-sensitive organization that trains people all over the world to have your back, to help you work through this trauma, no matter what ends up happening as a result. And you know, in my post-traumatic growth course that I have online at Sex Help with Carol the Coach, it's all about restoration, and it's all about loving yourself and feeling empowered to do what you want to do, no matter what has happened to you in your life. And so I can't emphasize enough that as you're going through this process of safety and grief and then restoration, that you really focus on some of those things that Coach Andrea talked about: support, information and inspiration, an action plan that talks about that next right thing, gratitude, looking at what is working in your life, love, learning to love yourself, and experiencing a new life. All right, we'll talk to you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio. And keep sending those emails in to Carol@CarolTheCoach.com. And we will see you next week.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.